Creative Spaces Case Study Series, Toronto Centre for the Arts. This Creative Spaces Case Study Series is supported by the Department of Canadian Heritage and Canada Council for the Arts. Table of Contents. Introduction. Page 3. Arts Built Ontario. Page 3. Toronto Centre for the Arts. Page 4. Interviewee. Page 4. History of Toronto Centre for the Arts. Page 4. Project Summary. Page 4. The What. Page 4. What circumstances led to the renovation of the Toronto Centre for the Arts? Page 4. What was the Toronto Centre for the Arts creating? Page 5. The Why. Page 5. Why did the Toronto Centre for the Arts take on this project? Page 5. Why did the Toronto Centre for the Arts engage its community? Page 6. The Who. Page 6. Who does this space serve? Page 6. Who led the project? Page 6. Who is the project team? Page 6. Who was contracted for the project? Page 7. Who were the key partners in the project? Page 7. Who opposed the project? Page 8. The How. Page 8. How did the project go from concept to construction? Page 8. How was a construction plan formed? Page 8. How was accessibility included in the project? Page 9. How was energy efficiency and the environment incorporated? Page 9. How were contingencies managed? Page 10. How were programs impacted during construction? Page 10. How were day-to-day operations impacted during construction? Page 10. The Ongoing. Page 11. How did the Toronto Centre for the Arts project new financials? Page 11. Did the new space provide a new revenue source? Page 11. Were new staff hired after the project was complete? Page 11. How is the Toronto Centre for the Arts being maintained and operated? Page 11. What lessons were learned in the first 90 days? Page 12. What lessons were learned in the first year? Page 12. Case Study Summary. Page 12. Resources. Page 14. Introduction. These in-depth case studies serve as a resource for arts and heritage organizations embarking on a capital project to learn from the successes and challenges of others in the sector. In these case studies, we analyze the why they took on this capital project, the what were they building and creating, the who are they serving, who supported this project, who led this project and who they hired, the how was the project financially supported and what positions were created/how were they funded, and the outgoing. What happened after? How is the building maintained/operated? Is it sustainable? How is revenue generated? Behind each project, we looked at a wide range of spaces from across the province with varying operational models, sizes, locations, project sizes, and artistic disciplines. The case studies focus on each organization's process for completing their project, from the planning phase, to the building phase, to the operations and maintenance phase. Following the completion of all 19 case studies, a best practice summary released on ABO's website, free for all to access. The case study series is supported by the Learning Series, which is a collection of webinars and workshops that support ABO's core programs. Webinars that highlight the capital projects featured in the 2018 to 2020 case study series are available on the ABO website. Please check https://www.artsbuildontario.ca/learning/webinars/ for more information. The case study series is supported by the Department of Canadian Heritage and Canada Council for the Arts. Arts Built Ontario. Arts Built Ontario is the only organization in Ontario dedicated to realizing long-term solutions to building, managing and financing the sustainable arts facilities needed in our communities. ABO offers tools, resources and programs that support arts organizations with their creative space projects. ABO's core programs include Asset Planner for the Arts, the Creative Spaces Mentoring Network, and the Learning Series. Toronto Centre for the Arts. Interviewee. Christopher Dell, Director of Production. History of Toronto Centre for the Arts. Built in 1993 in the region formerly known as the City of North York, the Toronto Centre for the Arts, TCA, was envisioned by the local municipal government to serve as an arts centre for its community. Initially operated by the North York Performing Arts Center Corporation, the venue featured three stages. These included the George Weston Recital Hall, a 1,000-seat, acoustically ideal rectangular room, designed for concerts. The Studio Theater, a 189-seat, community-mandated theater space utilized by local performing arts organizations and cultural groups. The Main Stage, an 1,800-seat, Broadway-style theater at the center of the building. Project Summary. The Toronto Centre for the Arts Main Stage Theatre went underused for many years following the closing of DanCap Productions, their primary client for the theatre, bringing the renowned Jersey Boys to the TCA. Audience sizes were changing and the needs of local theatre organizations were evolving. The TCA consulted its local theatre community and heard their desire for smaller theatre space. Plans were made to divide the main stage into two smaller theatre spaces. Supported by the City of Toronto and City Council, the TCA's renovated its main stage into two theaters, the Green Wind Theater, 296 seats, and the Lyric Theater, 574. The project was financially supported by the Toronto Centre for the Arts and the City of Toronto, and was completed through 2014 to 2016. The what? What circumstances led to the renovation of the Toronto Centre for the Arts? From 1993 to 1998, the main stage acted as the venue's primary revenue generator. Programmed and managed by the Live Entertainment Corporation of Canada Incorporated, also known as Livent, the Broadway-style theatre successfully hosted large-scale productions. Under their agreement with the North York Performing Arts Centre Corporation, Livent also programmed concert seasons in the 1,000-seat recital hall. Over these 5 years, both stages were ultimately programmed, filled and managed by Livent, while the studio theatre remained available for use by local organizations and community groups. When Livent ceased operations in 1998, however, the venue lost its primary producer and partner. This period also reflected a change in operations on the municipal level, as it coincided with the amalgamation of the City of Toronto. Now managed by the City of Toronto, new management structures were put in place, and the Toronto Centre for the Arts was designated as an agency board. Municipally owned and non-profit run, the TCA now exists within the Department of Economic Development and Culture. The TCA remains accountable to a board of directors made up of city council members and volunteer members, facilitated by the city clerk's office. Under this new model, the TCA was relying on small, block rentals that varied from monthly, weekly or single-day rentals. A brief return to stability came with their partnership with DanCap Productions in 2008. However, when they stopped producing shows on the main stage in 2012, the TCA experienced a vacant main stage once more. What was the Toronto Centre for the Arts creating? Through this capital project, the TCA was looking to create a venue that could effectively serve the evolving performing arts community and their audiences. A market survey conducted by NetGain Partners Incorporated concluded a lack of interest in a 1,800-seat theatre. NetGain completed a second market survey that verified the need for a 300-seat and a 600-seat theatre. It was at this stage that the TCA realized it could divide its main stage into two smaller theaters and expand its space offerings to the community, while also presenting large productions. The board of directors engaged George Friedman Architects to conduct a feasibility study to determine if this project was physically possible within the space. TCA staff followed with a business proposal with the support of NetGain Partners. The business plan formed a 5-year strategic plan for construction and operation. The TCA brought the project forward to the City of Toronto, which was approved by City Council. The why. Why did the Toronto Centre for the Arts take on this project? By transforming a three-staged venue into four, the TCA was looking to more effectively serve its theatre community, fill their rental calendar and expand relationships. During an initial search for new anchor tenants for the main stage, consultants met with local performing arts and cultural groups who identified that they were not looking for long-term rentals of a large theatre. Instead, the need for a 200, 500 or even 700-seat theatre was repeatedly mentioned by those consulted. Additionally, the 189-seat studio theatre, used primarily by community groups, was booked beyond capacity. With long-term renter, the Harold Green Jewish Theatre Company and a growing list of organizations utilizing the space for several days a year, there was a multi-year-long wait list for the theatre. It became clear that the TCA had to make their theatre spaces more relevant to the needs of theatre and performing arts organizations and the evolution of audience numbers. Why did the Toronto Centre for the Arts engage its community? The arts community provided the foundation for the vision of the TCA's renovation project. At the heart of this capital project were several market surveys and feasibility studies where theatre and performing arts organizations were repeatedly consulted. Traditional theatre presentation was evolving and the theatre sector's needs were changing. As supported by the waitlist from the studio theatre and the empirical data from their market surveys, there was an undisputed need for more small to medium-scale venues. This solution to maximizing the facility's full use presented a happy medium to one space to the overbooked studio theatre and underused main stage. The who. Who does this space serve? The TCA's renovated theatre spaces aim to serve both not-for-profit arts organizations and cultural associations operating at both the professional and community level. Who led the project? While capital projects require a team of dedicated individuals to be successful, former General Manager Pim Scotness and Councillor John Filioa were the two main internal drivers behind this project. Scotness, who was with the TCA from 1993 until 2017, always had a strong desire to see the venue utilized to its fullest potential. Similarly, Councillor John Filioa, who served on the board of directors, had long been inspired by the concept of walkable cities. They were both motivated to effectively serve the local community and engage them with the venue. Who was the project team? Within the board of directors, a subcommittee was formed to head the renovations. The subcommittee included Pim Scotness, former general manager. Bob Cooper, the committee chair, background in project management. Len Glickman, lawyer, entertainment lawyer, board chair. John Filioa, City of Toronto Councillor, Ward 18, Board Vice Chair. Frank Molinari, Properties and Real Estate, City of Toronto. A project team was subsequently formed to work more directly on the project. This team included Pim Scotness, former General Manager. Christopher Dell, Director of Production. Bruce Bennett, Production Manager assigned to the project. Frank Molinari, Properties and Real Estate, City of Toronto. Joanne Pin, Department of Economic Development and Culture, City of Toronto. Gary McCluskey, Diamond Schmidt Architects. Sibylwa, Diamond Schmidt Architects. Andre Rose, Diamond Schmidt Architects. Patrick Johnson, Diamond Schmidt Architects. Andy G., Gillam Construction. Benjamin Valaget, Gillam Construction. Prior to construction or even the design development stage, the timeline was tight, and the TCA needed support from TCA staff for the project. Accordingly, they reassigned Bruce Bennett, part of the TCA production team, to be the main liaison with the incoming construction team, who was contracted for the project. Once the city approved the project, the TCA used an open bid process to secure an architect. The TCA released a request for proposals and engaged Diamond Schmidt Architects for this project. Gary McCluskey was the primary architect, while Sibylwa and Andre Rose provided most of the designs. Another major player on the Diamond Schmidt team was Patrick Johnson. As the project manager throughout the entire project, he was TCA's main point of contact and kept them informed as the project progressed. Due to their tight timeline, the TCA decided a construction management approach would be most effective. Construction Supervisor NDG and Construction Manager Benjamin Valaket from Gillam Construction were engaged in early stages of the project to manage construction. All bids and trade contracts were tendered through Gillam Construction and they oversaw the building process. Overseen by Diamond Schmidt Architects, they were instrumental to the success of this project. Who were the key partners in the project? Throughout the capital project, the City of Toronto acted as an invaluable resource. Not only did they provide some financial support, they offered staffing expertise from the Departments of Economic Development and Culture as well as Properties and Real Estate. Having support from experienced municipal staff was especially helpful in guiding the early stages of the project. Two key municipal staff provided support throughout all stages of the project, Joanne Pin from the Department of Economic Development and Culture and Frank Molinari from Properties and Real Estate were both key players in the success of the renovations. Another instrumental partner that came on board was the Harold Green Jewish Theatre Company, who were primary tenants of the studio theatre. They expressed a specific interest in becoming a resident company, the Greenwind Theatre, one of the two new theatre spaces resulting from dividing the main stage. Through this partnership, the TCA was able to secure a partner before construction began and create more availability in the studio theater for other community organizations. Who opposed the project? In its first decade, the TCA's main stage typically served large-scale for-profit production companies and presenters. Undoubtedly, this one-of-a-kind, Broadway-style theater was missed by those able to fill all 1,800 seats. As one of the region's few large-scale theaters closed its doors, a few organizations and presenters lamented the loss of a well-built and centrally located stage. The TCA was able to deflect much of the criticism by keeping lines of communication open with municipal staff, neighboring property managers, the local community and the media. By keeping all these channels informed of their progress and inviting them to the space and see renovations as they unfolded, the TCA was able to generate goodwill and overall support for the project. The how. How did the project go from concept to construction? There were several factors that helped this project go from concept to construction. First, the community's expressed need for more small to medium theater venues and a compelling business plan secured a positive vote from City Council. Second, the TCA had adequate financial resources to support the project. Leveraging their existing capital reserve fund, they were able to generate additional buy-in from the municipality to support the project prior to construction. Finally, they had a dedicated team supporting the project, including TCA staff and municipal staff, consultants as well as industry professionals. How was a construction plan formed? The design development phase of the project was an immensely collaborative process that relied on open dialogue from the architect, the board of directors subcommittee, senior management, theatrical consultants and community stakeholders. Discussions began between senior management and the architects to develop plans for realizing the vision of the new TCA after conferring on designs with theater collaborative consultants and Air Acoustics. The TCA invited community stakeholders to provide input on the designs. Stakeholders included long-term renters of the facilities, interested community nonprofit theater groups and cultural associations. Their input along with frequent feedback from the TCA team was reflected in the refined designs. After a final round of consultations with all parties, designs were established. In order to build two stages, they divided construction into two phases. The initial phase included building the Green Wind Theater first to relieve the pressure of the overbooked studio theater. This plan would also allow the architects more time to work through the designs of the more complicated floor plan and features of the Lyric Theater. Once the Green Wind Theater was opened, more concentrated efforts were directed on constructing the Lyric Theater. 1. The Green Wind Theater. Construction of the Green Wind Theater began in January 2015 and ended in April of the same year. Now a 296-seat theater, the Green Wind Theater was built on the stage of the former Main Stage Theater. They kept original fly ropes from the main stage, and the high ceilings allow for two grids, a high grid and tension wire grid directly above the stage and part of the seating area. The theater also features retractable seating, which can turn the theater into an event space, allowing for versatile use of the space. 2. The Lyric Theater. The second phase of construction saw the Lyric Theater built from April 2015 to September 2016. To create the Lyric Theater, Diamond Schmidt designed a new stage, and created an overhead truss with motorized rigging. They also adjusted the rake of the pre-existing orchestra and balcony seating to allow for better viewing of the newly designed stage. The most prominent features of the Lyric Theater, however, are the geometric chevron walls that envelop the audience. These programmable panels are customizable with backlit color-changing LED lights, and individually controlled to augment any type of performance. Inclusive of the balcony and orchestra levels, the Lyric Theater can seat up to 574 audience members. How was accessibility included in the project? Accessibility was a major consideration for the renovation project, with both spaces exceeding required accessibility standards. Accessibility is prominent in the following main areas of the renovation project. 1. Seating, doubling the required number of accessible seats. Both the Green Wind and the Lyric Theater have accessible seating inside the theater. The Lyric Theater offers accessible seating throughout the theater rather than having one designated accessible area, helping all guests experience performances from different viewpoints. 2. Assistive listening systems. Both rooms offer assistive listening systems and exceed the minimum number of required devices. 3. Upgrades for performers. The venue includes accessible washrooms in the back and front of house. A service elevator and ramps were also installed to accommodate performers. The Green Wind Theater features sunken seating, creating the effect of a raised stage. This feature simultaneously changes the sidelines and allows the stage to be barrier-free for performers to access. The stage itself is on the same level of the dressing rooms. 4. Safety. Strobe lights were incorporated in the fire safety systems to accommodate those with low hearing. Along with an auditory cue, alarms now offer a visual warning. How was energy efficiency and the environment incorporated? The TCA retrofitted both theaters with LED lighting. This includes the chevron walls in the Lyric Theater, and all new light bulbs installed in both theaters. To make the architectural and theatrical features more efficient, MAC 301 and MAC 350S intelligent lights, color force lights and LED-driven lights were installed where possible. Utilizing their existing HVAC system, the TCA made adjustments that allow the heating and chilling complex to use a variable speed drive and run at a slower rate. The facility is able to run at optimal efficiency based on demand. How were contingencies managed? As with any capital project, contingencies arose during the construction of the Lyric Theater. In North America, the installation of chevron lighting panels along the sides of the theater had not been completed ever before for a theater of this scale and size. It took approximately 6 months longer than anticipated to install. During construction, the TCA discovered the initial design was going to bring them $2 million over budget. The design-build process requires constant adaptability and there were no established blueprints to rely on. The team was working off a concept, and as the work progressed, the design was refined. To bring down project costs, they re-evaluated plans with theater collaborative consultants and were successful in lowering expenditures by focusing on the bones of the project. In the Lyric Theater, hemp-lined sets were introduced to replace some of the motorized line sets in the short term. The capacity to add motorized line sets later remained. Other equipment purchases were deferred to a later date and would be outside of the project's scope. A decision was made to refurbish the seating instead of replacing it. A contingency fund supported the TCA when unexpected issues arose, which they kept for the end of the project. For their $10 million project, the TCA budgeted 15% for their contingency fund. How were programs impacted during construction? While construction unfolded, the studio theater and the recital hall maintained their programming schedule. In order to manage guests, there was signage throughout the building indicating that construction was taking place. TCA also provided descriptive signage explaining the project to patrons and had booths set up during open houses or larger events, with staff to explain the project and answer questions. How were day-to-day operations impacted during construction? There was an obvious increase in workload that led to longer and busier days. The workload increased for the housekeeping staff as it was impossible to fully contain the dust of the construction zone. The lobby and two open theaters required a significant increase in maintenance and daily cleaning. There were also unavoidable staffing cutbacks during construction. Support for theater positions is largely show-driven and with less functional theater space some positions could no longer continue. The outgoing, how did the Toronto Centre for the Arts project new financials? Prior to renovations, the TCA developed a business proposal with NetGain Associates to determine financial projections and the estimated growth cycle for the venue's first 5 years of operation. This proposal included three principal factors. Staffing costs. Maintenance and upkeep. Rental fees. Ultimately, they planned for operating costs to be offset by rental fees. The TCA consulted several venues of similar size around space rentals and revenue, including Markham Theater, Richmond Hill Theater, The Rose, Vaughan Theater and the Mississauga Living Arts Center to inform projections. Did the new space provide a new revenue source? An increase in expenses with no revenue growth was expected for the first couple of years of operating the Greenwin and Lyric Theaters. Influenced by an economy of scale business model, the TCA understood the need to make investments early on to secure lasting and profitable partnerships with local organizations in the upcoming years. After 3 years, the TCA's revenues started to grow. The operating costs for the Greenwin and Lyric Theater are lower than the main stage, and the TCA increases its theater use and in turn, rental revenues. Were new staff hired after the project was complete? New staff hires were built into the budget from the beginning of the project. Once construction was complete, more housekeeping staff were hired to compensate for an additional theater space. Additionally, another round of hires brought new stagehands, technicians, and front-of-house staff to work with both professional and community theater organizations. How is the Toronto Centre for the Arts being maintained and operated? The TCA continues to maintain and operate its facility under TO Live-In alongside the Sony Centre for the Arts and the St. Lawrence Centre for the Arts. The City of Toronto maintains ownership of the bricks and mortar of the TCA after completing a building condition assessment. The City and TO Live have a 10-year plan to maintain the facility, which includes timelines and strategies for the replacement of varying elements of the theaters. TO Live currently uses EBMS Unterbeck, which is a comprehensive booking and financial system used by staff to book and manage the theaters at the TCA. While it primarily functions as a rentals program, it also features modules for inventory and facility assets. The system offers graphical and trend analysis reporting on equipment and rental data. What lessons were learned in the first 90 days? Despite ample planning, consultations and careful considerations, some issues will only become known once the project is underway, or once the facility is in use. For instance, a couple minor issues arose when the new theaters opened to the public. This included the realization that certain fabric and carpeting was not as durable as originally anticipated. Accordingly, staff removed and replaced these features. Moreover, they discovered the need for a light lock in the Greenwind Theater, preventing outside corridor lighting from coming in, which was caused by latecomers opening the main doors to the theater. Although it did not affect visuals on stage, it was an annoyance from the audience's perspective. Ultimately, the key to managing these surprises is acknowledging that issues will arise, remaining open to suggestions and being transparent with your team. What lessons were learned in the first year? In terms of physical space, even when things go as planned, outcomes are not always received as anticipated. For instance, while the construction team was able to successfully transform the Greenwind Theater into a flexible black box theater, only a handful of users have embraced the flexible aspects of the space. Rather than pulling out the curtains and the soft goods, most renters use it as is. As soon as a project starts, there is no more opportunity to save money. It is important to look for cost-efficient methods and materials in the design development stage, as costs only increase once construction is underway. Use conservative spending where possible, and building a healthy contingency fund into the project budget. Finally, the team learned the importance of creative tensions in a successful project. In most instances, healthy dialogue and discussion lead to stronger plans and projects. When they discovered an issue with the acoustics after opening, it became clear that it was not properly noted or discussed in the construction phase. In hindsight, the TCA could have avoided post-opening alterations if the acoustician had worked directly for them rather than the architects. Ultimately, there needs to be a system of checks and balances with all those employed, to ensure a top-down management approach does not limit the potential of the project. Case study summary. Faced with the problem of underutilization of their main stage, the TCA thoughtfully considered feasibility studies, market studies and community consultations to determine how to better serve their local performing arts community. Backed by their municipality, they leveraged the strengths of their staff and building committee, outside consultants, the construction team and architects to realize an ambitious renovation in just under 2 years. The project allowed the TCA to move from 100 days of use in the main stage in 2014 to a combined 235 days of use with the two theaters. Their capital project has enabled them to increase accessibility for community and nonprofit groups and bring a new diversity of shows to their stages. Resources. Website. Toronto Centre for the Arts. Documents. Lyric Theatre Seating Plan. Greenwind Theatre Seating Plan. 2015 City of Toronto Project Overview Presentation. 2016 City of Toronto, Toronto Civic Theatre's Approved Budget. Arts Build Ontario Webinar. Engaging Community and Municipal Performing Arts Space Projects. Webinar Recording. Webinar Transcription. Media. Act 2 for a Toronto Theatre, The Globe and Mail. When one theatre becomes two, combining the old and the new to deliver exceptional acoustics, Construction Canada. Toronto Centre for the Arts, a reimagined lyric theatre, Urban Toronto. Arcello Project Overview.